Well, we're joined today by a special guest, Linda Tice. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Glad to be here. Thanks.
And Dave, you're special too.
Dave's special.
I'm just happy to be
here. You got a guest. You're just here all the time.
Yeah. I was like, can I be part of this?
We'll take it. So today's topic is, and a very important one, and this is sort of like a special podcast. So we're not necessarily just sitting down rapping about ministry this time, but there's a very important issue coming up on the ballot in November. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. And that's why we're doing this, because we want the church to be informed. But before we jump into the heavy stuff, let's learn about Linda. How long have you been at Living Hope, formerly EFREE?
I've probably been here 20-some years now.
Okay. Right?
Stop that. Yeah, the Tongs invited me years ago.
All right.
And got to be good friends. And
so did you attend when the church was at the YMCA?
Did not.
You're at the location
here. Okay. It's here. As a matter of fact, my husband was one of the contractors that put one of the additions, one of the original additions on the building here.
Neat.
So he got to know Pastor Adam at the time.
Neat. And you're involved with the Women's Resource Center in town for many years, too.
Have been for a long time. Yep. We did the care program there for many years, for 22 years, I think I was doing that. Mm-hmm. We turned it over to Scott Tinlin, which is great.
Yeah.
So he's continuing all of that on the schools.
And you have been involved in the fight for life for many decades, right? Tell that story. Someone told you a long time ago, hey, Linda, join us. It'll just take a short amount of time, right?
Oh, yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, most people don't remember Dr. Jack Wilkie's name even, but he sort of started everything in Ohio on the pro-life front before the Supreme Court decision, actually. He was around in the 60s from Cincinnati. And when Roe versus Wade came down in 73, I remember thinking at the time, and I don't know why I was thinking this, but it was when you trusted the government for everything and you trusted the medical field and you just thought they must know them better than you. And I remember thinking, oh, that's really sad that they made abortion legal, but there must be a need for it. And I didn't pay attention. My mom, however, for many years had worked with Heartbeat before they had any, you know, pregnancy centers per se, when they would just take phone calls and they would meet with young girls. I knew she did that, but I always thought that it was more just to help them get through a tough time. I didn't connect it too much to the abortion stuff until when I came home right after I got married. My mom kept saying, you really need to get involved with Right to Life. And I kept saying, I don't want to. And she finally hoodwinked some friends of hers into talking me into doing something at a festival that they were doing. And then that particular woman said, you need to go. And I finally said, well, for Pete's sake, I'm going. So I did. I went and we met in the basement of a bank building, I remember. And in those days, we always showed the reality of abortion at every single meeting that they had. And so they showed slides of what abortion was. And I remember saying, oh my gosh, we're killing kids. What in the world? I don't know what I was thinking, but we're killing kids. And so that slide presentation was made available in the schools if they could find somebody to do those. So I started doing a few of those. And I think I've been doing it maybe 6 months. It's probably 1974. And they got a phone call. And it was from Dr. Jack Wilkie. He started all of this. It was like God called, you know, because he was the guy. And I remember Luke saying, it's Dr. Wilkie on the phone. And I thought, what's he calling me for? And they had a very small board at Ohio Right to Life then. And they lost the girl that was from our area. It was only 7 or 8 people that were meeting in the whole state. And he called and he said, I understand that you're showing my slides. And would you consider coming on the board? So Joanna, who's now 51, was just a baby. And I packed her up and off we went. And we went to Zanesville. And I remember him sitting down probably within 2 or 3 weeks after that. Dr. Wilkie sat down with Luke and I, and he said, you know, if we could give this 10 years, you know, if you guys think you could jump in for 10 years, we should be able to knock this thing out.
Yeah.
And we thought, 10 years. We just had our first baby. We're just starting our business. We're thinking 10 years is a long time when you're in your 20s. You know,
right.
Like, holy cow. So we decided to jump, and then it was 20 years. That was not a year. And near 50 years before this all finally fell. And then we were excited that it fell, of course. And we were here at church. Remember, we had a
service
that night and celebrated. We did. It was so nice out here in the yard. And little did we realize, though, how much pressure it was going to put on the states now, because we could no longer blame the U.S. Supreme Court for any of this. We had it right in our laps to take care of. And so things have been crazy since then. In all of the states, they're trying to do more stuff.
Yeah, but so now my understanding is, I'll mention this in a messaging I preached a couple weeks, is that in 1970s, the church, or people look back and say, well, the church was asleep at that time because Roe v. Wade came through and now all these babies have been aborted. But really, we've come back around. How this is our chance, right? To just say, and I'm sure if it gets voted down, no, the issue one we'll talk about in a minute. I'm sure it'll come back up again, but we need to be vigilant and to vote against abortion being put into the Constitution.
Absolutely.
Ohio.
Because this isn't just a law. This is in the Constitution, and you can't change that easily. If it's in the law, you know, you can amend things. You can go back and change them again. You can pull them out and put something else in, but you can't do that easily with the Constitution.
Yes.
And everything butts up against it. That's the problem. Once this thing is instilled in the Constitution and enshrined there, then all the lawsuits going up there are going to butt right up against it, and they're going to say, sorry, you're a burden. You know, the language that goes along with this.
And is my thinking correct that people are watching Ohio? Yep. What happens in Ohio could be the first domino for other states.
Yeah, we are the big one right now. We're the only one doing this this year. There are 12 others that are in the wings. As a matter of fact, we've been in touch with them to ask them to help us. Some of those people in some of those states are helping us make get out the vote calls, doing things from where they are, because they know that what happens here is going to set the pace for next year and the coming years.
Okay.
You know, you mentioned something that I haven't really thought of this. You know, I'm just thinking about people who might be listening to this that are wondering, so why are a couple pastors sitting down with Linda talking about this political issue? And one thing you brought up, Linda, I think is really interesting is just, you know, why, what's in it for us to be passionate about this issue? Because as you alluded to, it's like, well, there's a lot of money in the abortion industry. You know, it's like Planned Parenthood. I don't know what percentage, I'm pretty sure it's a high percentage, right? Like their money comes from, you know, the services that come with abortion. Us, you know, whatever, if, you know, issue one and limiting, you know, abortion access, whatever you want to call it, you know, it doesn't seem to be good for, you know, the industry. And I don't know, is there any money behind this, like in terms of the pro-life side? Like, why would we do this? You know, it's kind of like we're really passionate about this, but we have no like incentive,
yeah.
Other than what?
Well, it's in life,
right?
Every single individual life, man in God's image.
Right.
But those who are in the industry don't see it that way at all. They are very motivated by what they can make, how much more prestige they have, and they're proud of it. They're very proud of it, which is sad, which is really sad. So we know the value of each individual life, and I'm really pleased with the organization that we're with right now. We're with Right to Life Action Coalition of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
We have no executive director. We have no office. You know, we don't hire a lobbyist. We have a lot of professionals, but everybody does it from a volunteer basis. So we know that anything that people give to us and put into our treasury goes directly into the mission. There's no breakout for who's making money, you know, in any particular area.
So I think, you know, it always makes it all the more important because really on one side of things, there's no special interests.
No.
There's no money. There's
we just
no
care.
Industry behind us. Yeah. Right. It's more like a basic value that we value all life and that this is important. And so, you know, we get behind this and we campaign this because of our moral, ethical values and what we believe. And that's it. And then everything comes from volunteerism and.
Well, and it all goes back to the worldview that Blair was talking about.
Right.
You know, in the sermon this past Sunday was really good base for all of this. Because if we don't have that value, then it doesn't matter.
Right.
But we do.
Well, what's tricky too is that if you're in that industry, you have this bias that you're not even aware of. you don't want to think that what you're doing is wrong, or that even if you had an abortion or you have someone close to you who has, you don't want to entertain the thought, right, that you destroyed a wife. And so I understand, like, I can only imagine how difficult it is for someone to really give, the side that we're coming from a fair hearing. We don't want to have any, agenda other than just clearly what seems to be, moral values based on all human beings created in the image of God.
Well, and to offer forgiveness.
Right.
If we can't offer forgiveness to those who have been there, I can tell you, after all these years that we've been doing this, I can tell you most women who end up in a situation have been coerced. I mean, they say 70 to 75% of women have been coerced in some way. They thought it was their only way out. They didn't have somebody, who was available to help them walk through in a positive way a man's situation. We're always about trying to find a good solution to a bad situation, aren't we? I mean, yes, that is what it should be. So if we kill the baby on top of a bad situation, whether even if it's rape or incest or, any kind of coercive situation, we're just adding another negative to the negatives we already have. So through Jesus, we can offer all the positive things to bring people back, because everybody has sin somewhere.
Right.
So we don't want people ever to feel like this is the unforgivable sin.
Of course it's not.
Right. Of course it's not. And Jesus is waiting for us to just come back and say, didn't want to be there, wish I wasn't there, or I did at the time and now I know better, whatever it is, we want to be able to offer that. And that's the great thing about this whole movement. I love that. Most of the people that are working in counseling positions, I could say, in the situations that I know of, most have been in some way directly involved with abortion. Either they had an abortion, they helped somebody. The boyfriend was involved, or they took somebody or something. So you've got this many years of legalized abortion, 65 million babies are
dying. Right.
That leaves a lot of people who have been involved in one way or the other. And how fortunate that we have the word of God to bring everybody back.
Yeah, just a couple of scriptural underpinnings for why we're talking about this today. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So there's something innately different that sets humanity apart from the animal kingdom, etc. So when you're dealing with babies, babies are just smaller adults. It takes them a long time to get there, but it's human beings. So the breath of the
and Lord. Vulnerable.
And vulnerable. Yeah, innocent and be protected from evil.
Some of the things you said, I think get at a question or maybe an accusation that some people have. They say, you just care about the unborn. You just care about, say, fetuses, and you, at the detriment of the mother, and you cast them aside, and you're talking about a lot of people who are deeply affected, even having had abortions, are now, some of the biggest supporters and contributors and volunteers towards, seeking, a pro-life, pro-life movement in Ohio. It doesn't seem like, it really is about babies at the expense of mothers. It seems like it's more than that, right?
Oh, Dr. Wilkie came up with a saying years ago that was, why can't we love them both?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've tried to do all of these years. It's all about helping women make choices that they can live with afterwards. And if they so choose to go in a direction that's going to really hurt them for a while, we're the first ones to be there when they come back. We say, come back to us. Mm-hmm. Talk to us. If you need a job, we'll help you, no matter what the circumstances. We're totally non-judgmental from that perspective, because it doesn't make any sense to be.
Right.
If we really want to help them, we need to take them from where they are and pick them up and move them ahead to the best of our ability. And the pregnancy centers are wonderful. The state of Ohio has about, 120 or 125 pregnancy centers, all run by volunteers.
And,
everything's free. All of the things that are available to them. It's unbelievable. And the one here in Philly is incredible. I'm just doing a great job. you know, all kinds of things for after the baby's born, to keep the families together and to keep them moving in a positive direction.
Yeah, I know the staff really tries to connect with the people who come into the center and stay in contact with them and be available.
Oh yeah, for many years, I think.
Great, great background. So let's dig into issue one. Okay, now one clarification. I saw this yesterday looking at the news. Is the issue one in August is different than the issue one in November?
Absolutely.
So issue one in August, I mean, it's a moot point at this point, but was about changing the Constitution. So that was, we were hoping, you know, people could vote how they wanted, but a vote for yes would have raised the percentage for changing the Constitution.
Yeah,
66% or 60%.
60.
Yeah, instead of 50+1. But that's stayed where it's at. So now this one in November is on issue one about this Reproductive Freedom Act. And so we're encouraging people to vote no.
Yes.
November.
Yeah,
I love the little saying.
You betcha.
Good. So I thought we'd just walk through this a little bit. Here's a copy for you, Dave. Be it resolved by the people of the state of Ohio that Article 1 of the Ohio Constitution is amended to add the following section. Am I reading the same thing you guys have?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Article 1, Section 22, the right to reproductive freedom with protections for health and safety. First of all, I guess this whole Reproductive Freedom Act, is that a bit misleading or is that
Everybody knows that reproductive freedom is just unleashed abortion.
Okay.
This is what it is. And it's interesting the way they've titled it because it's the right to abortion, pretty much,
mm-hmm.
with protections for health and safety. So it's a fraud from the get-go because there are no protections here for anybody. There's no protection for the women. There's no protection for the babies, for the pre-born babies, or for families at all. So, and there's nothing that's safe about any of it.
And who's writing this amendment?
Actually, the ACLU is taking credit for having written it. Planned Parenthood is behind it. URGE, which is United for Reproductive and Gender Identity Issues.
Okay.
So why are they involved? Nothing like that is mentioned here. However, it says, but not limited to things that are
riots. All right. So A, every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions, including but not limited to decisions on number one, contraception, number two, fertility treatment, number three, continuing one's own pregnancy, number four, miscarriage care, and number five, abortion. So I think people are taking issue with every individual. What could that possibly open a door?
Well, interestingly, there's no gender and there's no age mentioned. So it's every individual. That could mean girls or boys, men or women at any age. If they wanted to mean women over the age of 18 or over the age of 21, they wouldn't have said that,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't. So every individual has the right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions. Kind of scary stuff because it opens the door. I mean, that's where the questions come in about transgender things, mm-hmm. and all of that. Because if you're talking boys and girls, what other reproductive decisions or treatments are males involved with? Mostly it's identity changes.
Yeah. Okay.
So that leaves the door open for that. So that's a concern as well. People aren't talking about that as much, but when you think no gender, no age,
yeah,
that opens up everything. You could go to an 11-year-old or a 10-year-old.
Well, it seems like it's saying that regardless of age and gender, this right goes to every individual. And so you're talking about a right that a child could have who can't get a license, can't vote,
that's right,
can't purchase cigarettes or alcohol,
mm-hmm.
can't do lots of things that would damage them or potentially damage other people, but yet they have the right to potentially change their sex, have an abortion, fill the blank, do life-altering surgeries. And even though it's not explicit here, you know, the beginning of it is the right to anyone, regardless of age and gender.
The interesting thing here is if you look at these five that they have listed, Blair just read, those are all legal already.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to put those into the Constitution. Those are all legal. Contraception's legal. Fertility treatment, legal. You can always continue your own pregnancy, miscarriage care. than abortion. Abortion is legal to 22 weeks in that state. Mm-hmm. So no matter how things come out in November, abortion is still going to be legal to 22 weeks. What they're looking at is the abortion that goes all the way up to birth. So why do we need abortion past 22 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need that? But that's inferred here as well.
So this is the what people are raising the alarm about in terms of late-term abortions.
Yeah.
That portion of it.
Well, yeah. And if you look on B here, it talks about the state not directly or indirectly being a burden or penalizing. So the state cannot pass any laws that would appear to penalize or burden or directly or indirectly influence any of these decisions. So they can't pass anything protected. So all the laws that we have right now in the state of Ohio, informed consent laws, I mean, the laws that say we can't abort Down syndrome babies, all of those laws would be circumspect. I mean, we don't know what they're going to do with any of those because any of them could be considered a burden.
So that would be, all those current laws would be overridden by this constitutional amendment.
Yes. So in Michigan, you can take a look at what happened in Michigan already. They passed something very similar to this last year, put it in their constitution. And already they're doing away with parental consent. They're knocking everything out. By the time it hits the constitutional level, you can sue all you want. I mean, if you've got a 12-year-old boy who's having identity issues, and a counselor decides to start him on, you know, hormone treatments, take him to a doctor and do that, if you as a parent are concerned about that, you could bring suit, but it won't matter because you're going against individuals, right? And anybody who's helping them. That's the scary thing. It's not only the individual, but it's anybody, any entity or individual who's helping that person is going to be protected by law. So a coach could take a girl to have an abortion, and you could be concerned as a parent. You should be. And if you agree with your son or your daughter about the decisions, that's okay. But if you disagree, their decision will take precedence over yours. That's pretty scary stuff.
This is what we talked about on my sermon yesterday, happens to be, about self-rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get to just, instead of, you know, God's plan for authority and hierarchy and accountability, you know, parents over children to guide and direct, and that's can be very scary.
It
passes.
But yeah, it can be.
Absolutely. It seems like it's hitting on, even though it's worded as you're giving freedom, it even goes back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of who is to protect a child,
mm-hmm.
right, from an industry that will continue to make tons and tons of money on abortion, sex change operations, all these therapies. We're talking about billions of dollars and projected to continue to grow. And who, if not parents, anybody,
that's right,
can possibly shield and protect,
mm-hmm.
right, your own children from the powerful influence, not merely of wherever culture's going, but the money in the medical industry that's going to make huge amounts of money on this. And so there needs to be a check and balance here. And so what's presented here as freedom is actually removing the responsibility, even of loving fathers and mothers to care for their kids,
mm-hmm.
and that this is putting them in a situation where they're stripped, right, of their primary parental role to get them ready to make decisions that are going to impact their lives forever and the lives.
Yep, and we have to be the ones who say, not on our watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is not going to happen on our watch.
Okay.
So if people just need to understand this, that's what's at stake here. It's not just about abortion. Mm-hmm. It's about deeper issues in our whole culture. It's going to tear families apart, and kids are going to be in a position to make choices that they have no clue how to make. I mean, I think how many kids are going to come back and say, where were you, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you protect me on this? Why didn't you vote against this? You know, you can see that already with the transgender stuff. I mean, so many of those people are coming back saying, we wish we hadn't done this. Why didn't you let me do this? I mean, all the stats show that kids that are going through the identity type stuff are finished with it usually by the time they're 19 or 20. So once they make changes, it can't be undone. What in the world do you do with that? Are abortions on kids really early or late terms? And I know the late-term people are saying, who has late-term abortions? Well, you know, if in here it says that the attending physician, who is the abortionist, is going to decide viability.
Let me read that, and we'll move on to Section B then. So Section B is the state shall not directly or indirectly burden, penalize, prohibit, interfere with, or discriminate against either, one, an individual's voluntary exercise of this right, or two, a person or entity that assists an individual exercising this right, unless the state demonstrates that it is using the least restrictive means to advance the individual's health in accordance with widely accepted and evidence-based standards of care. However, abortion may be prohibited after fetal viability, but in no case may such an abortion be prohibited if, in the professional judgment of the pregnant patient's treating physician, it is necessary to protect the pregnant patient's life or health.
So all you need is a fixer.
Mm-hmm.
A physician that will say.
He'll just say.
In my opinion, I'll put the stamp on it because this is what you want to.
Right. And the same thing is true for the attending physician, who is the abortionist, regarding life or health of the mom. So life, just to kind of go through that. When Roe versus Wade was came down in the first place, they always had the life of the mother exception in there, and they also had the health of the mother exception. The health of the mother exception, though, was defined in Doe versus Bolton that came with Roe versus Wade. And Doe versus Bolton defined health to mean physical, emotional, familial, financial, basically anything. So that's how we ended up with abortion on demand for full 9 months of pregnancy through Roe versus Wade, because of that definition of health. Because you could throw anything into that. And on the question of life, I'm going to just talk about this for just a minute, because when we think about a woman whose life is really in danger, and then you think about the exact definition of what abortion is the intentional killing of a preborn baby. There's never, ever, even when a woman's life is in danger, if she has cancerous uterus or whatever, there's never a time that it's necessary to go in and intentionally kill the child. We may have to go in and remove the child. We want to do everything we can, again, positive options, to save the child. If the child is lost, then the intention isn't to kill the child.
Right.
So that whole question of having the life and the mother exception has been bogus, really, for many, many years. But especially in light of all the research we've done now to show that you can deliver babies, you don't have to go in. You know, you can do a lot to save them early. I mean, we've had babies as early as 20 weeks, 19 weeks, 18 weeks who have survived. But here you've got the attending physician, the abortionist, who's going to decide on viability and on life or health for the mom. So that gives him the okay to go all the way up to birth. But why would he want to go up to birth? People say that all the time. They don't really do that. Well, yes, they do. They absolutely do that because, number one, I hate to say this, but they make a lot more money for the late-term abortions. The babies are bigger. It's more difficult. And there's a lot of sales going on of baby parts. And the older they are and the more mature they are, the more money they make for them. We have videos of that. They've all been thrown out.
Yeah, that's barbaric.
Oh, it's awful. It's just awful.
Keeps going back to my concerns is I don't see how this protects anybody.
It doesn't.
From this industry that will do anything in its power to just mow out as much profits as they can with human life and this sale of human body parts. It's like, it's a war.
Well, and all of the different products that are in there, it's in collagen for makeups and they're taking all kinds of things from aborted babies. So, you know, you always follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, sad to say, but that's what we're up against. We're up against trying to protect human life made in God's image against all of this abuse.
Then Section C, as used in this section, number one, fetal viability means the point in a pregnancy when, in the professional judgment of the pregnant patient's treating physician, the fetus has a significant likelihood of survival outside the uterus with reasonable measures. This is determined on a case-by-case basis. Number two, state includes any governmental entity in any political subdivision. So what's that language about?
Well, the state itself includes anybody who works for the state. So it could be people in the government, so they can't pass laws. It could mean anybody in the school systems, could mean the health departments. Any entity that works for the state at all could be involved in anything that would prevent them, the individuals, from making these choices.
Okay.
Or the person helping the individual making the choices. Yeah. It's pretty wild stuff.
And then D, this section is self-executing.
Right. That just means it takes effect the day after an election.
So I heard it'd be like 30 days.
Usually so there is. Usually there is, but this takes effect on November the 8th.
Okay, wow. So all the more urgency to make sure that we're on top of this with our folks.
Absolutely.
To strike it down.
It's the only way that we can stop it. And Hancock County happens to be considered one of the rural counties. 50 of the 88 counties are considered rural. I think it's like 62.7% of the people in this state are rural. And yet the big cities make the decisions. So every single vote is what matters here. And in Hancock County, we actually won the August election 60-40%, but we still had 30,000 people that didn't vote. So it didn't matter because it was a statewide election. You need every single individual. So every individual who votes takes one away from the city. So we have to look at it that way. It's really important to, particularly on this particular issue. If we don't stop this, the whole country is watching us right now. It's pretty crazy stuff, isn't it?
So it seems like if there's ever a time that your vote probably matters most and that you have a stewardship and an opportunity to really make a difference based on deeply held beliefs, the gospel's all about in Jesus Christ and the image of God and the value of human life, it would be like, can you imagine?
No.
Could you imagine a bigger one? You know, one thing that I'm wondering is like, how can this not have tremendous negative effects in tying the hands of people in the medical profession and doctors?
Well, that's another big question. They're saying, who's going to pay for all this? The parents' insurance will pay. Whether the parents have the okay or not, it will go back to the insurance company. And then they're going to try and pass this all off with tax dollars too. They've done it in a number of states already, so that your taxes would pay for it.
So, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So this, above all elections that I think I've ever seen, I think it's more important for us to talk. Talk to every individual that you can see. I ran into a guy at the bank just this last week, young kid. I had him in class, actually, working at the bank. And somebody stopped as I was going through there, and they wanted a couple yard signs, and interrupted us. And I said, can I go get my yard sign out of the car for this person? He said, oh, sure. So I went back into my appointment with him then. He said, what are you doing exactly? And I said, well, we're working on trying to stop issue one. And he said, I don't know about issue one. And he immediately went to the computer in the bank, looked it up, and he started reading. And he said, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Abortion up till birth? This is insane. And I said, Ben, are you registered to vote? And he said, no. And this happened to be the last day.
Oh, really?
For registering. So it was on the 10th.
And,
yeah. And so I said, you get yourself out of here at 5 o'clock. And he was going to call his girlfriend, and he was going to go down and get registered. And then they were going to go and vote the next day. So God bless him. Ran into somebody else in the filling station with three kids in the backseat and just said, you know, do you know anything about issue one? She didn't have a clue. And when you tell her, it's like, oh, my gosh, yeah. We can't let this happen. So more than ever, I think it's really important to talk about it to everybody. Just bring it up and say, do you know anything about this? Because one thing we have going for us is that this is a new vote this time. So if people are confused, they'll either not vote a lot of times or they'll vote no.
Yeah,
as they're confused.
Not voting what the change
is. Yeah, yeah. So that might be to our advantage this time, but we still have to offset all those votes in the city.
Right.
And the big unions are bringing everybody in early to vote because they do that largely because the media will report then on how many are voting early.
Right.
And how they're voting early. They've got, you know, ways to be able to tell that.
Tipping scale.
Right. And then that really makes things more difficult for those who want to go. They think, well, it's already said and done, or we've already lost it. There's no need to go and vote. So if we can have a lot of people voting early too, they'll come out and they'll say, well, it's pretty even.
Mm-hmm.
you know, which helps, you know, to get people to go vote, see how critical it is. But this is crucial stuff.
It is crucial stuff.
So one question I have is, I absolutely think what you're saying is absolutely spot on, that we need to be able to have these conversations and talk about it with people so that they will vote for their conscience, because I believe a lot of people, if we just don't vote, right, this will get struck down. However, you know, there are a lot of people that don't really hold to, you know, a Christian biblical worldview. We said it multiple times, you know, we believe that, you know, all human beings, all life, were created in the image of God. It has nothing to do with your age or your faculties, right? Someone who is, you know, someone who is dying is just as important as someone who's not yet born. That is a particular worldview that's distinctly Christian and biblical. How could we, you know, just the fact that we live in still a pluralistic society, have a conversation with people who might not see it the way we do, but I think this is something that we can still find unity around and favor around, even if you don't believe as we do.
Well, particularly because of the parental piece.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to lose their parental rights. Nobody knows, no matter how they feel about abortion. Even people think abortions, and even people think abortions okay in the first 3 months. They don't like this late term stuff. We did focus groups on this early on, and found, I mean, even the most avid pro-choice, pro-abortion people said, this is too far. This is too extreme. We don't like this. We don't like this at all. Yeah. So the more we can get it out there, as if the Christians vote, we win.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And if we don't, we lose. So that is our own fault.
And do people talk about the long-term effects of having an abortion or encouraging an abortion too? I mean, turn upon the conscience or the heart of the person?
We try to.
But not necessarily you, but that's not really getting talked about in the pro-abortionists camp, is it?
No, so not at all.
But we're trying to say, you know, we can find forgiveness in Christ and there's healing, but it gets spun as, you know, it's your choice, your body of choice, but what about the emotional effects long term about this? So
very hard stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe someone tries to address this, but just reading through it with you, it's like, I'm just shocked that I don't see anything in here that would mitigate what's coming up. Just like sex change therapies for minors, things that will change your life forever,
mm-hmm.
that you can never go back on. You know, it's like chemical castration and all these choices that, you know, it's like should be their right to make even before they can make any, before their brain's fully developed, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like while you're confused because of puberty, like who doesn't get confused in that stage of life? And we're talking about giving people not only the rights, but also like unmitigated influence from this industry that's going to make not only a lot of money as they've made a lot of money with abortion, but in addition to that, all this other stuff.
Well, you know that right now in Ohio, 47% of the abortions that are being done are chemical abortions. They're not even going into the abortion clinics. So what's happening is that the Planned Parenthood clinics are moving over to the gender identity issues, mm-hmm. and because that's where they know the money is right now.
Yeah,
that with the chemical abortions are horrible, and I don't know what we're going to do to try and stop that because girls are taking two pills. We take the first one, basically, starts the baby, mm-hmm. and allows the baby to die over the first few days, and then they take the second one, the second pill, it puts them into labor, and then deliver at home. In their own bedroom or their bathroom, and they flush the baby down the canals.
Wow.
Which goes into the system that's not meant to deal with any of that stuff. No oversight by a medical doctor. And said, what if she has an ectopic pregnancy? We're gonna have girls dying in their bedrooms over this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, this is crucial.
It is
crucial.
A lot of prayer, a lot of need for prayer, and that the Holy Spirit, we just keep praying. The Holy Spirit will move people to see the truth, because it's always about the truth. If we can get to the truth, then Christians will move to do what they need to do. But it's getting everybody to look at the truth.
Well, we're going to pass this on to our church and
thank you.
Get the word out and try to inform people.
Great.
We won't cover this today, but I do want to mention that because I just found this out recently too, is that on the November ballot is also issue two,
yes,
about recreational use of marijuana. So make sure those of you who are watching or tuning into this, make sure you check that out and be informed about what's actually going to be on the ballot November 7th. And I want to mention this. Having recently become an American citizen, this will be my first vote in the United States. And so I'm very thankful that this issue is the one that I get to cast my vote on. So, I'll be voting.
That's awesome.
Oh, no.
Awesome. Good.
Well, thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
This is so helpful. And I just want to get this out to the church in as many venues as possible. We'll talk about this on October 29th in my message. But also getting this podcast out, I think, is really important too. So, yeah, and I'm certain you're open for questions. I know you're busy right now running around, but if people see you at church or whatever, they'll ask you.
Absolutely. Surely.
Too, so.
We'll do it.
All right.
Okay.
Let me pray.
Please.
Okay. Let's pray, God. God, we just turn to you, and you're the Almighty One. We thank you that you have given us your word, and your value of life has been communicated on the pages of Scripture and through your very voice. So I pray in Ohio, God, that this could be a no vote, loud and clear. We can protect lives, at least with this aggressive, extreme measure that people are kind of put in the Constitution. So we just pray, God, for a good outcome, many to go out and vote now, and just represent your values at the polls. This is a chance for us to put into action what your word says. And so we pray for people like Linda and others who are fighting this fight. And thank you for her perseverance for the decades. And we just pray, God, for your victory here. And so we do pray, Lord, also for people, for clarity and worldview and understanding your love and your truths. And also for those for whom this is an issue that raises a lot of hurt, I pray for Jesus, your forgiveness and your grace and your peace for each one. So we love you, and we thank you for our time to talk about this in Christ's name. Amen.